And well, it's good to be together and to look in God's Word together today. And I've got so many things I'm so excited about today. I was telling the church group that was here on Wednesday night, I said, I'm just excited, and I kept really trying to almost hitchhike on my sermon from this morning, and I had to stay away from it. It's kind of scary. It's kind of hard. A people prepared for His purpose. How many of you know God has a purpose for your life? He has a purpose for mine. He has a purpose for this church. And we're going to find out today if we're really tapping into the possibilities that God has for our life and purpose. Now, this whole idea of purpose has been pretty popular in the last years. There was a guy who wrote this small little book called Purpose Driven Life. I don't know, he made a couple thousand bucks or something on that book. And it went over really well. And then he wrote a book called Purpose Driven Church. And then his youth pastor got in on the action, going to make a little money too, and called the purpose-driven youth ministry and purpose. And everybody's been preaching about it. But I'm going to kind of come from a different perspective today, which is pretty often I do. And we're going to look at what it means to be a people prepared for His purpose. Now, I had something happen to me this week, and I just want to kind of share this with you. And I need your help. I need your participation a little bit. And we're not going to sing Noah Had a Little Arky, all that thing that we did the last time. But we're going to, it's close. All right. This what last week was on Tuesday. Please don't try to imagine this. I was in the shower and I was, you know, getting ready for my day. And all of a sudden, like as often, a song came to my heart. I don't know if you guys sing in the shower, but I do often. And I don't know. I love our new songs. And I'd like to sing a lot more new songs. I love new songs. But usually when I'm in the, you know, by myself and just before the Lord, kind of really before Him, I like to sing songs that kind of come from my past, from my experience. And there was this song just started coming. I mean, I hadn't thought about this song in years. I mean, literally, had not even come to my mind in years. And I just began to sing this song. It was probably in the early 80s this song came out. The Word of Faith movement started getting going, this song, this is what they sang. It goes like this. It's going to be up here. The Word is working mightily in me. The Word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, oh, the Word is working mightily in me. Can you sing that with me? Is the words up here? Can we go to the next slide so we can see the words? Be really good. Thank you. Now you know the words. Now sing with me. The Word is working mightily in me. The Word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, oh, the Word is working mightily in me. Let's do it again because you got to really get this down before we get going with my illustration. You ready? The Word is working mightily in me. The Word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, oh, the Word is working mightily in me. Now, I started singing this song. I mean, I was just singing a song. It was in my spirit. You know how a song, you like music and you enjoy songs and you know, kind of comes and goes. But there's sometimes a song will get down in your spirit. And this song has that little kind of peppy little tune, old style, you know, old school tune, right? But it's still got a neat message. Let's look at the words. It says, the Word is working mightily in me. Now let's just have a little lesson here. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. So the Word is working mightily in me. When we put the Word of God into our life, when we plant the Word of God in our life, it works mightily in our life. And then look at that middle line. It says, no matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, oh, the Word is working mightily in me. So here's what's happening. I was driving down the street. And this guy got in front of me. This was after I got dressed from the shower. I just want you to know. And I was driving, you know, and I'm going down the street like this. And this guy does some weird kind of driving technique. I'm not quite sure how to describe it. Normally, I'm the kind of guy who goes, get on my way. Anyway, they made me miss the green arrow. And I was in a hurry. I had an important meeting. And so I come up there, and normally I'm going, oh, man, I missed that light and driver. He could have just been, you know. This time I started singing, here we go. The Word is working mightily in me. The Word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, oh, the Word is working mightily in me. Now, you know what happened? The green arrow came on. Now, I know they're timed. I'm smart. I know what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, Jesus was involved. Because now I'm going, I didn't miss the light after all. I take off. I'm going down the street. It happened again. It happened four times. Missed the green arrow because someone, I was going in a circle. It happened over a period of the day. And so I was, anyway, I was just like going through the day and some different things would happen. And normally I would be upset. And, you know, I started thinking about how this might work in our life, how it could maybe work. And so I got to thinking about how it would be like, you know, can you maybe you can't imagine this, but maybe your husband or wife never liked this or your kids, but you imagine your kids or, you know, they don't get it. They don't really understand what's going on, you know, and you're trying to help them, trying to point them in the right direction, but they're just not getting it. And you really would like for them to get it. Rather than be all frustrated, just start singing the song. The Word is working mightily in me. The Word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, oh, the Word is working mightily in me. Now, we all know that the parents don't have a clue, right? I mean, they are somewhere else. And so try this song out. It really works. Or a song like this, or a song that comes out of your vocabulary of worship. But what I found out is that the Word was working in me. Now, if you want to get real bold, you know, and the husband's not treating you the way he should, not doing what he ought to do, you know, and you'd really like to just slap him upside the head, or that wife, she's always on your case, you know, and you, you know, is just kind of, you know, really getting on your nerves, then I'm going to give you this little piece of advice because I do a lot of marriage counseling. Take a big step back and sing. The Word is working mightily in you. The Word is working mightily in you. No matter what the circumstances, what you feel or see, oh, the Word is working mightily in you. It works. Now, because I did all that because I want to talk about today a little bit about how faith works in our life in terms of finding the purposes of God for us. And I'm not a big confession teacher. I'm not a, you know, I'm not, you know, name it, claim it kind of a guy. But I believe that the Bible says, and Pop Hagen, I respect him. He didn't write this. It's Mark 11, 23 and 24. He said, Jesus said, whatever you say, if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. Say, when you put the Word of God in your life, when you begin to plant the Word of God in your heart, even when somebody else needs to make some changes, don't try to change them. Start singing, the Word is working mightily in me. Because my heart needs to change. The Word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see. Come on now. Oh, the Word is working mightily in me. Amen? So that's how you're going to make it through this sermon today, is every once in a while when I step on your toes and I hear a little, instead of an amen, I'm going to hear, the Word is working mightily, the Word is working mightily. We're going to be in a round around here. Now, to be a person of purpose, to really become a people prepared for His purpose, we must first become a people of potential. And so on your little sheet, grab that little sheet right there. Somebody handed me one. It was interesting. I'm glad I got one. And right on there in the first line, right, a people of potential. In order to really become a people of purpose, we first must realize our potential in Jesus Christ. Now, our calling comes from the Savior to really receive and renew that place of principle. And I just want to talk to you real quickly on this first point about a story. Most of you know this story. I've talked about it before. You've heard it before. You've read it before if you've ever read the Gospels. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, it says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him. I've never quite had that problem. But anyway, I know Pastor Keith has, but I haven't. Listen to the Word of God. And he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. How many of you know Jesus doesn't need a lot to work with? He really doesn't. He doesn't need a lot to work with. He's got been pressed in by this crowd, and he goes, two empty boats. Idea. I mean, the Savior doesn't need a lot. You don't have to come to the Savior with all these gifts and talents and abilities and something that you could do on your own and all this strength and all this stuff. You just come to God, because Jesus sees the potential in two empty boats. And so he gets in one of the boats. Let's look at the rest of the story. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. Now I'm going to tell you, when the Word of God begins to work in your life, and Jesus got in the boat, amen? He's the Word of God. He works in your life. He not only will see our potential, but others will begin to recognize it and begin to believe in that potential as well when they see Jesus working in your life, when you see the Word alive inside you. You know, I read an article in the newspaper yesterday that 3/4 of Americans who have not been to church in the last 6 months believes that the church is full of hypocrites. Well, I've been in the church a lot the last 6 months, and I still believe the church is full of hypocrites. I may be the chiefest, though I try not to be. But I thought to myself, I wanted to call up those people that are there, that are saying that and hadn't been to church in 6 months, and they're judging the church about being hypocrites. I want to just ask them, are there any hypocrites on the planet? And when they answer yes, I want to ask them, are you going to jump off? I mean, of course the church is not perfect. The church has not arrived yet. Jesus had this uncanny ability by the gift of who he was, the Son, to see the potential in this man named Peter. He saw what he could be. His name was Simon, which means impetuous, and I've talked about him a lot. But he's the man who opens his mouth before he engages his brain. That's what Simon means. But Jesus saw him as Peter, which means rock. And so, how many of you know that Jesus can look at you, and he can see the potential in you? And when you hang around the Word long enough, and you allow the Word of God to become alive in you enough, you'll begin to be able to see the potential, and even your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, everyone else will start seeing the potential in you once you begin to allow the Word of God to work in your life. Jesus gets a hold of you, and he begins to do something. So Jesus gets in this boat. He asks Simon, he says, go out into the water a little bit, and he teaches the crowds. Now, God has this incredible plan for each one of our lives. And one of the biggest mistakes we make in the church today, and Christians make, I believe, is we compare ourselves against other people. And the worst thing you can ever do is compare yourself against somebody else. Your comparison is only against, am I being a man or a woman who has opened their heart to the purposes of God's Word in their life? That's my only comparison. It's like golf, you know. You can go out there. I play golf horribly. Somebody asked me the other day, do you play golf? I said, well, you could call it that. And, you know, I go out there and, you know, I play with Kenton or Steve or somebody, and I'm playing golf. My competition is not them. My competition is my own ability to hit this stupid little white ball down that path over there. And I get frustrated with that potential. I haven't played in a long time. I know. So, you know, I don't neglect my day job to go golf, so just get that clear. But the truth is that I like the game, but sometimes the mistake that people make on the golf course is to think their competition is against the other person they're playing against. It's really against the elements, the fairways, and how, if you've ever been in one, or how rough the roughs are, which is where I'm usually at. So, I mean, that's really where my competition is how high the grass is and how dead it is. So, you know, so our competition is not each other. Our competition is, are we fulfilling the call that God's placed on our life? Are we becoming what the Savior wants us to be? Now, in order to do that, the Savior is going to ask you to stretch. You've got to learn to stretch a little a little further than you ever have before. Okay, we'll go get ready. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4-7, It says, when he had finished speaking, this is Jesus, to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Now notice what he says to Simon here. He says, look, I want you to do something very interesting. I want you to go a little deeper. Many Christians never fulfill their potential in life, not because they're not good people and that they don't love Jesus. It's because they're never willing to go deep enough. We want to fish where it's kind of shallow. We want to fish where it's safe. But sometimes God's going to stretch you beyond your limits, beyond those things that are comfortable and those places where you have always been or where you've always done it a certain way. And here's what happens in verse 5. Simon replies to him. He says, Master, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. First thing he does is, I've been there, done that. Do you realize how many Christian people I talk to as a pastor almost daily who basically have that attitude, been there, done that? I don't know. I just don't see anything new. I want you to know that the God of heaven never runs out of new good things to do for you. What happens is we quit looking to him for the strength. And so Jesus says, I want you to go a little deeper. And then he says, I want you to get out there and we're going to catch some fish. I want you to put your nets down. I want you to do what you're used to doing. Because sometimes God is going to strengthen your faith, not by asking you to do something you've never done before, but to ask you to do something you always do and then show his miracle power in it. Watch what happens. He says, Simon says, we've done this all night, we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Excuse me. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. And a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon, both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. See, sometimes we get real caught in up in that whole this time, last time, other time syndrome. How many of you know that every time God works, it's this time? What does he want to do today? What does he want to do in your life today? A couple weeks ago, we had a supernatural touch of God's power rest upon this congregation. It was one of the most powerful experiences that I've ever known. And I've been around the Pentecostal charismatic movement all my life. And I've seen a lot of great things happen. But that was that day. What does God want to do in your life today? What does he want to do in you this moment, in this time? What does he want to do with you this week? Are you willing to go a little deeper? Are you really willing to step out of where you're comfortable and do something you've never done before? Are you willing to go a little bit deeper with Jesus than you've ever gone before? If you're willing to step out and say, God, I'm going to do what you say to do. I'm going to be what you want me to be. I'm going to go where you want me to go. Whatever it takes, I want to see the miracle. Well, this disciple, Simon, he said, whatever you say, didn't catch a thing. Everything in, he's basically saying this, I'm a fisherman and all the signs say there's no fish out there today. But if you say so, I'll go fishing. Because Jesus, when he works in our life, he's going to cause us to have to change or stretch, become different than we are right now. Because he recognizes the potential in us. See, this guy's name was Simon, but Jesus was already seeing him as Peter. Jesus already knew that inside this impetuous man who had some of the greatest statements in the Bible said out of his mouth, and some of the dumbest statements in the Bible said out of his mouth and to him, he said, I see the potential in this guy, that not only just being a Simon who speaks before he engages his brain, but I see a potential of a man who could be a rock, who could represent the rock to earth. So Peter saw the potential. And Jesus sees us and he recognizes his potential in us and what he wants to do. And he wants to look at our lives and see us. And there's so many things that God may want to stretch us to do. And help us to be everything that he wants us to be. Sometime later, just after this next chapter or so, Jesus is going to name the 12 apostles. And he names this guy. He says, first name on the list, Simon, whom he named Peter. Because Jesus has the ability to see in us long before we can see it, what he wants to accomplish in our life and through our life. Now, there's a few times that Peter fell back into the old habit. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But I want you to know that Peter was a guy who really was starting to fulfill the potential. And by the time he got filled with the Spirit, this guy was in a rock for sure. And that's what really takes in our lives, is to be filled with the Spirit, which I talked about last week a little bit. Now let's look at this last thing here, and then we're going to see a little video that Caleb put together. Now, we want to see the response of the Savior here. So you got Peter, you know, got empty boats. Jesus gets in the boat, says, go out, talks for a while, teaches the people. And then he says, now go out a little deeper, and I want you to put your nets down. Peter says, we've done that all night, been there, done that, hadn't caught anything. He says, but if you say to do it, I'll do it. He gets such a big catch, he has to call other boats over. The sons of Zebedee come over there and help him out. And now look what happens. Luke chapter 5, verse 8 to 11 says, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, O Lord, please leave us, leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now look what happens to these guys. Peter gets this great catch, and he's just like awestruck, it says in this version. He's like, oh my gosh, this is God. He says, please, leave me, get away from me. I am not worthy for you to be around. The sons of Zebedee, James and John, they said, they're amazed too. They're like going, oh, you know why they were so amazed? Was it because there were so many fish? Yeah, that's one reason. But the reason why they were so amazed is God used something that they did on a regular basis to show them his power. See, sometimes we want God to do some kind of supernatural, weird, out there thing. If God would just like, you know, have a lightning bolt strike that little cup on the communion table, I would believe. But sometimes God just wants to show you your potential and his power just as you're doing what you're doing and driving down the street. The word is working mightily in me. And the green arrow comes on. Or you're not getting angry at things that you used to do. Get angry at. You're not upset so much. You're not so out of shape all the time. And you all of a sudden you go, you know, maybe it's because I'm putting Jesus in his rightful place and he's seeing the potential of who I can be. Sometimes you could amaze yourself if you just really get connected to the Savior. Don't be afraid, Jesus said, because from now on, there's going to be a change. You're still going to be fishing, but what you're fishing for is going to be different, and the bait's going to be different. But otherwise, the same principles apply. There's people who need to be caught and need to understand that there's a loving Savior that cares for them. Jesus hadn't changed his call to this day on the church. Caleb's put together a little drama for you now, and we want you to watch that. And it has to do with some of the potential and some of the purpose that God has for our life, and it should be very interesting.
pulled down from A to Z. All the ways I thought that you could best use me. Told all my strength and my ability. I formed a plan, it seemed to make good sense. I laid it out for you, so sure you'd be convinced. I made my case, presented my defense. But then I read the letter that you sent me. It said that all you really want from me is just whatever. Whatever you say, whatever. I will obey, whatever. Lord, have your way, 'cause you are my God. Whatever. So strike a match, set fire to the list of all my good intentions, all my preconceived ideas. I want to do your will no matter what it is. Give me faith to follow where you lead me. Oh Lord, give me the courage and the strength to do whatever. Whatever you say, whatever. I will obey, whatever. Lord, have your way, 'cause you are my God.
Looks like frustrated rock musicians to me. I don't know. Good job. The music video shows that, you know what, you can be up front, you can do all the things. If you want to really find your potential in life, you got to be willing to vacuum a little carpet, and change a diaper in the nursery. You know, if you really want to be up front for God, if you really want to be out there for Jesus, the real potential that we can make really comes in those times when we do that thing that we're uncomfortable with. It's that thing that takes us out of our comfort zone. It's that thing that stretches us beyond our own abilities. And you know what? I've watched him clean toilets before. That was an act. I've seen that. Just teasing. Actually, I used to clean the church around here for a while. But you know, if you want to be up front for God, if you want to be public for God, you've got to be willing to be private with God too. You got to find yourself right in the list, finding a purpose, finding a direction, find a potential that God has for your life. You got to be willing to let all of that burn away when you let His Word work mightily in you. See, when you saw Caleb in the video in his room reading His Word, it's like, I can set my plans, but God will have His purpose. You can make the best lists in the world. But if you really want to be everything Jesus wants you to be, then you've got to be willing to be a person that you allow Him to fulfill His potential in your life. Amen? Some of us need to realize that we just make it through the day, literally, because Jesus is working in our lives. Some of us need to realize that we wouldn't even make it through one day if we were on our own. Aren't you glad God's with you? Well, secondly, we not only need to be a people of potential, but we need to be a people of position. Now, you might struggle with that thought a little bit. People of position. Why would we be? Well, I may even think it's a little presumptuous to think that we're people of position. But God has made you a person of position. Peter gets a position in this life and in his walk. He got some of the greatest lines in the Bible. Man, he got some of the greatest lines. Listen to this one in Matthew chapter 16. You've heard it. Simon Peter answered, after Jesus had been asking his disciples, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" Who's everybody talking about out there? What's the scuttlebutt out there about who I am? Then he says, "Who do you guys say that I am?" Peter said, "I got it. I got the answer." He said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Wow. This guy gets it right. He has a revelation of who Jesus really is. And he says, "You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the anointed one. You're the one promised." And Jesus said, "Look, Peter, you didn't get that right because you're smart. You got that right because the Father told you." Have you know, most of the time when we get it right, it's because God's speaking. Not so much because we know anything at all. In fact, the better we learn that, the more Jesus will speak through our lives. The more we realize we don't have it all under control. Peter also had a few other kind of things spoken about him. Listen to this one. Luke 22:31. "Simon, Simon." Now, we're a long ways into the book here. Remember back there in chapter 5 and 6? Peter, Simon becomes Peter. Now we're back on chapter 22, excuse me. And Jesus is back to calling him Simon. Simon, Simon. "Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." Now I want you to see something about that. Jesus gives Simon his marching orders ahead of time. He says, "When you've repented, here's what you're going to do. I want you to take care of my brothers. You to be the one who feeds them, who cares for them." Peter denied Christ 3 times, as you know. But Peter was also got to be the one who stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached the message in a language people could understand, and 3,000 people came to know Jesus as their Savior that one day. Now I looked at this and I said, you know, everybody gets a position. They all get a position. Peter got one. Well, I started looking in the Old Testament, started thinking about this one guy. You know, you might think about people like Moses and Abraham and all those good guys. Pharaoh got a position. Did you know that? Listen to this. Pharaoh, who by the way, is the one who's in charge of Egypt when Moses goes to take the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he's the guy who has to go up again. He's the enemy, if you will. Remember Moses? He's the guy that got mad, killed an Egyptian, goes and hides on the backside of the desert until he has this experience with a burning bush. Sounds a whole lot like Peter, because the next thing's out of his mouth, and God said, I want you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He came up with all kinds of excuses. This sounded a whole lot like, we've already done that. We've already tried that. But it sounded like this. I stutter. I don't want to go by myself. So Moses begins to make all kinds of excuses. Well, eventually, as you know, he gets the people out of Egypt, and he spent the rest of his life trying to get the Egypt out of the people. I mean, that's what Jesus is doing with us. However, let's look at this passage of Scripture says about Pharaoh. You think about Moses and Abraham, all those guys, those Old Testament cool guys. They should have a position, right? Look at this one. He says, for the script in Romans 9:17, says, for the Scriptures say that God told Pharaoh, I have appointed you for the very purpose of displaying my power in you and to spread my fame throughout the earth. What? The enemy? The Pharaoh? He gets the position to do those two things? He gets appointed for this purpose to display the power of God and to spread God's fame throughout the earth? That just doesn't seem fair, does it? Until we start realizing that in every battle there has to be an enemy. And God sets up those places in our lives where we're going to face something and we're going to deal with something and we're coming up against a wall or a difficult issue that we're facing in our lives. And you wonder why it's there. I want you to know why it's there. It's because when you overcome and break through that, then you become the person God's intended for you to be. You fulfill the potential God has for you. But if you have no opposition, then you just won't ever fulfill anything. You're just going to be wandering around. The enemy has a purpose. The enemy, remember what I told you his purpose is in John 10:10? The thief comes what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have a purpose for you. I have plans for you. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So even the enemy of God's people back in this day was Pharaoh. He had a position. And because of the things that he did, all of the power of God was expressed. You think those plagues were a small issue? Have some boils. Have little grasshoppers. Whatever those plagues were, I can't remember them all now. How can you imagine? Well, somebody had to be the enemy standing up, being the one that we had to go against. And Pharaoh got the position. I'm sure glad that I get the kind of position that Peter got. He says, Jesus said to Peter, he said, look, you're Peter. On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll do something else. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind or stop or forbid on this earth will be forbidden. And whatever you loose will be loosed. You know what? The reason why we don't fulfill the position that we're called to and the potential we're called to, because many of us never take the keys and put them in the lock and open the door. We wait for the pastors to do it. We wait for the more spiritual people to do it. We wait till we're not so busy. We wait until everything's just right. And I used to coach soccer. I used to get so aggravated at kids sometimes when they'd be running around in front of the goal, waiting for this perfect shot, waiting perfect. By the time they did all that, all these people got in front of them. I said, just shoot the ball. The law of averages is some of them are going to go in there. And I taught them how to do it right. You get your head down. You get your chest over the ball. You plant your foot and you follow through. You kick the ball. There's a process you go through. But keep doing it. If you miss, do it again the next time. I had two boys that were very good scorers because they learned how to not wait for the perfect shot. They just shot the ball. When any opening came, they just shot the ball. And I think sometimes you and I have to realize that if we're ever going to fulfill our potential in life, we can't wait till life is just right Everybody's being nice. All the people are going in the same direction. Everything's all under control. If you wait for that, you'll be waiting forever. Just step up to the plate and do what God's called you to do. Be what God's called you to be. Say what He says to say. I was talking to Jonathan this morning early when he came in, and he was talking about an issue, and I said, you know what? Some days you just have to stand up like a leader and say, this is the way it's going to be. Walk in it. You don't have to be ugly. You don't have to be harsh. You don't have to be mean. There's just a point in which we have to know what God's purpose is and potential is for our life and walk in it. Amen. Well, I was excited about this sermon. You guys aren't helping me very much. Revelations chapter 12, verse 11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. The Message paraphrase, it's not a translation of the scripture, it's a paraphrase, says it this way. I like it. It said, they defeated him, that's the enemy, through the blood of the Lamb and the bold word of their witness. They weren't in love with themselves. They were willing to die for Christ. How many of you would be honest enough with me to realize that much of the reason why the church doesn't fulfill its potential, much of God's kids don't ever get where God wants them to be, is they're more in love with themselves than God's purposes. And I may not want to say that out loud, but it's true. We like ourselves too much. Lord, don't stretch me in that way. That might make me look weird. Don't ask me to raise my hands and I might just be vulnerable. I might have sweat stains under my armpits or something. Somebody might see. God, don't ask me to give that word, that testimony. Don't make me speak in front of people. Don't ask me to do those kind of things. I'm just afraid somebody might not like me. See, they didn't love themselves that much that they would shrink back. These people overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony because they believed in God. And you and I can too. If we want to fulfill our potential and our purpose in life, we must be willing to do that. Last point, and I'm going to be done. To do all that, you must become a people of purpose. There's a lot of things going on around our world. I got a letter this week from Valson Abraham from India. He's actually in India right now. There's persecutions of Christians in the state of Orissa. Orissa is a state that has the highest anti-conversion laws in all of India, which means you can't convert people to other religions. And we think we have it tough. We think we have it tough living up to our potential. Last week, just a couple of weeks ago now, there were 74 churches and 800 homes of Christians burned. Since that time, there's been 21 more churches that were torched by Hindu radicals. They've reported that thousands of Orissa Christians who had to flee from into the forest for their lives without water or food. Many of these people were existing on water licked from leaves. Some of the people reported deliverance from wild animals. Since January 1st, at least 4 evangelists have been burned alive in the state of Orissa. At least 200 people are still missing, and at least 100 of those are presumed to be dead. Boy, we got it tough, don't we? We're going to have to pray for these people. I know some of these evangelists. I know some of these pastors in India. I've been there, met them, preached in front of them. Felt awkward doing it because I have never, you know, my biggest sacrifice I ever have to make is whether I'm going to go to this restaurant or that restaurant. These people are licking leaves to stay alive. You want to fulfill your potential in life? Begin to say, God, I'll do what you say. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. Because you see, in Proverbs 19:21, it says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. God has a plan. He has a purpose. It's not because He's a tyrant, just having His own way. It's because his ways are good. His ways are holy. They're pure. And they're good for us. How do you do that? Well, it's really simple. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, all of you know this maybe by heart. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Been wondering where to go, what to do, how to walk, what the decisions to make. You want to know how? Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to do it on your own strength. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. It'll let you down. You think you got a lot of experience? You may. There's one who has more. And he will show you which path to take. One translation says he'll make your path smooth. How many of you would like to have a smooth path for a little while? Hit a few green lights, huh? Lastly, there's a purpose of the church. And our corporate body, as well as we as individually, parts of the body of Christ. Paul gives us the purpose of the church. And he says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities to the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please, don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. Paul's talking to this church at Ephesus. Don't be uptight about what's going on here. This is small potatoes. There's an eternal plan of God at work. It's much bigger than what you're going through right now. Trust in him. I like the message on this one as well. It's a paraphrase. It says, though through Christians like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. All this is proceeding along lines planned all along by God and then executed in Christ Jesus. When we trust in him, we're free to say whatever needs to be said, bold to go wherever we need to go. So don't let my present trouble on your behalf get you down. Be proud. I like that translation. Or actually, it's a paraphrase, not a translation. To fulfill our ultimate purpose in life. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 2. He says, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our heart. What's your purpose in life? To find every way you can to please God. It's nice when people are pleased a little bit. They feel good about what you did, but that's really not the goal. The goal is to know one day, those of us have been called to be fishers of men, that one day we'll stand before the master of all time, and he'll know the motives of our heart. And he'll know whether we've been fishing or not. Let me ask you, is the word working mightily in you? When's the last time you picked up the word and said, God, just work mightily in me through what I read today? I'm not talking about going through a reading program. That's fine. That's good. I'm not knocking that. But I'm talking about opening the scripture and say, God, today as I read what I read, would you work in my life something? Would you do something in me? Would you change my life? Would you give my life purpose? Maybe the next time you're in your car driving down the street, life isn't quite going your way, you'll remember this little jingle. The word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances or what I feel or see, the word is working mightily in me. If we think it's all going to happen in this building, we're mistaken. The only hope that we have here in this gathering, this hour and a half or so, a little more that we have together, is that somehow God will birth something in your spirit and you'll come alive to some new things for yourself. But the real work happens when you and I get on our face before God. When we realize how holy He is and how awesome and incredible He is. And you're like Peter, you say, God, I've done this before, but if you say so, I'll do it again. And when we see His great increase, we see His great hand at work, then we'll go, God, I didn't even know that I'm worthy to be around You. And you'll hear the Master's voice say, look, I have a plan for your life. And all of this is happening so that you can find My purpose. God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. He has a purpose for this church. God has a reason why we're here this moment in this time. And it's not to go through the motions of church and having our Sunday morning ritual. So God can establish His plan in the earth through His people. God's going to work in India. But God wants to work right here, this day, this moment in your life. For you to surrender one day finally and say, God, wherever You say for me to go, I'll go. Whatever You say for me to say, I'll say it. Whatever You want me to do, I'll do it. I said that to the Lord recently. And since I said that, I've taught a Sunday school class and been in the nursery. Next week, I may not even be standing up here. I may be watching the nursery. Because I'll do what You say to do, Jesus. I don't care what it takes. I don't like cleaning toilets very much. But if it took it, that's what I'm going to do. I don't know if those boys would let me change their diaper, but if I'd take a shot at it if I could figure out how to do that again. Whatever it takes. Let's be bold and be strong in this day. Let's bow our heads, please. Close your eyes. No one looking around for just a moment. Maybe you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you understand this, that Jesus Christ, 8 years ago now, died on a cross and was buried and rose from the dead. And if you'll put your faith and your trust in Him, you can have life forever in a place called heaven. If you'll confess that you're a sinner and need a Savior and you choose Him to be that Savior, you could receive Him this very moment and your life would be incredibly, radically changed right now. If you're seated here right now and you've never done that, you've never said, Jesus, come into my life. Or maybe you're so far away from God, you don't even know how far away you really are. But you know you're not with God where you should be. And today you'd like to say yes to Jesus Christ. Right there, privacy of your seat. I will not embarrass you. I'll not ask you to come front. Everybody's heads are bowed and their eyes are closed. This is a private moment between you and the Lord and me just by way of agreement with you. But if you'd just like to receive Christ, would you simply lift your hand up and put it down again? I just want to ask you to say, Jesus, come into my life. Make me new. Make me a brand new creation. I ask every week, so I'm not worried about the response. I just want you to, if you need to today, to be right with God. Anyone like that today? Maybe say, Pastor Ron, you know, I've been walking around without purpose. I do my day every day. I go through the motions of the day every day, but I really don't know what God's plan is for my life. And I want to find God's purpose and direction for me. I want to fulfill the thing that God placed me on this planet to do. I want to experience the boldness and the confidence to walk in His presence, reaching a world that's lost and without hope. If that's you right there where you're seated, I want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hand and say, I want to be that kind of person. Yeah, I see your hand. Sure. Yours. Yeah. Yeah, I see your hands. Amen. Well, Lord, do that in us today. Make us people who are totally focused on finding what your purpose and plan is for our life and walking in it. You may come to us in the very thing that we do every day and just ask us to move a little deeper. You may ask us to do things we've always done, but you may ask us to do them when we're tired, when we've already been there and done that. Let us be faithful in those times, and you'll bring the great catch of fish. You'll not only leave us there, Lord, you may change us in a new direction. Or you may just change the bait we use so that we become fishers of men like you called us to. Lord, I know that hundreds and thousands of people in this city alone, if they were to die and meet you today, they would go to hell because they've never said yes to Jesus Christ. Not because you don't love them and don't want them to. It's because they've never made the choice. Some of those people haven't been asked for a long, long time. Because they're not darkening the doors of this church anyway. They're not here beating the door down when I get here on Sunday morning. And so somewhere we have to be so in love with you, so courageous before you, that we begin to live the life of Jesus Christ before this earth and before this world and our friends. We don't love ourselves so much, but we want to see the purposes and the potential of God coming out in our lives and other people. So we look away from what others might think about us, and we live your life out with boldness and confidence. We live it so strongly that people begin to ask questions. And as they ask the questions, we can answer about what you've done in our life. And we can see some of those people saved. You would that none would perish, but all would come to eternal life. And so, Lord, help us to be bold about you. There's some pharaohs out there that have the positions to try to keep us from getting where you want us to be. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we shall overcome. Help us, Lord, to be those kind of people and fulfill your purpose in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? We're going to worship the Lord some more, just for a few more minutes. Would you